For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Please be seated. In the world of science, there is not much of a bigger name than Louis Pasteur. And I was thinking recently, especially after a conversation that I had with a parishioner up in Milwaukee, of him in particular, because that while possibly the biggest or one of the biggest names in scientific discovery, he was also a great defender of the Catholic faith. And it reminded me of a story about Saint Louis Pasteur, that one day he was traveling on a train, and he was there, and this young man came onto the train, and he sat down across from what to him just appeared to be an old man. And this young man had just finished his studies in the sciences, and had just received his doctorate degree in those physical sciences. And so he sat down, and the old man across from him was dozing off to sleep. And as he fell into sleep, all of a sudden, from his hand, dropped a set of rosary beads to the floor. And the young man bent over, picked them up, and handed them back to this older gentleman. And after seeing them, as young men often will, he very foolishly spoke as if he was a leading source of knowledge in the area of science to this man, and said how he was so surprised that in this day and age, with all the scientific discoveries that have been made, that anybody would continue to believe in God and to pray to such a God. And he went on and on with these supposed developments of science that seemed to point away from God and towards just simple natural discoveries. And he went on with the old man, and the old man just sat there and nodded, and, oh, wow, interesting, interesting. And that's all he really said throughout the entire time. And finally, when they reached the old man's stop, he stood up, and the young man said, well, if you found this interesting, I can send you some books that I'll continue to help you in that area. And the old man looked at him and smiled kind of wryly and just handed him his business card. He said, sure, you can send them to me at this address. And the young man looked at the card, and on it said, Louis Pasteur, Director of Scientific Research, Paris, France. And the young man's jaw hit the floor. The one whose books he had just been studying and discoveries he had just gone through was this same old man who was sitting before him praying the rosary. On another situation, Louis Pasteur was in a room filled with colleagues at a conference. And they were going on and on about different topics, and one other younger scientist started talking about how, with all the discoveries, it's only a fool who would continue to believe in God. And the more that he studied science and did research, the more he was absolutely certain God didn't exist. And Louis Pasteur stood up without any kind of hesitation, without any kind of loss of temper or anything like that, or frustration in his voice, but with full confidence stood there and said, "That's interesting, young man, because I have been studying this for a long time, and the more I study the sciences, the more I am certain that a God exists. And the more that I look through a microscope, the more I marvel at how much he does, even in the smallest detail, with the smallest of organisms. And the more I study, and the more I research, the more often I find myself praying while I work in my laboratory." The reason why I bring these things up is that this great scientist was a staunch defender in the faith and defended it with absolute confidence. And it's that same confidence which we all must have when we have to stand up for the faith. There will be many times in our lives that we will have to stand before a person who is a non-believer and who is standing before us accusatory and trying to disprove the existence of God or disprove our own faith in the church. And they'll stand before us and point the finger at us. Yet it's our duty as Catholics to defend. And so often in those times, we stand there and we feel as if we are fighting from a downhill position, that we have such an uphill battle, that this is such a struggle for us, that we don't know the words to say all the time, that we feel that we have to the 19th degree, prove every single point and prove by giving some sort of physical appearance of God before them that he actually exists. And the reality of it all is we should never feel like we are defending the faith from an inferior position. We have the superior position all the time in that regard. We have God on our side. We have the truth on our side all the time. And as Catholics, we are the only ones who can actually truly say that, because we have the faith given to us by Christ himself. No other church can claim that, that their faith comes directly from God, except for us. No other church can say that they truly cannot hide or cannot hide from science or will not hide from logic. But we can, because everything that we believe falls in line with all of those positions, because it is true, because it is from God who is all truth. And as confirmed Catholics, God promises us if we live a life of grace, he will assist us by that very grace given to us from the Holy Ghost. He will assist us in our defense if we are prayerful, if we study our faith, and if we trust in him in that regard. He will protect us and he will guide us. We will come across many people who are there for no other reason than to attack the faith themselves. And yet we feel like they're winning. It shouldn't be. Atheists will try to poke holes in any kind of proof that we give them. I remember when I was in college, oftentimes I would be questioned about the faith, and I'd give answers, especially in science classes, I'd give answers, and then whether it be the professors or the students themselves, they would come back and say something along the lines of, it's just very convenient for you to plug God into this argument. Anytime there's a gap in any kind of reasoning, you insert God and that's your answer. The God of the gaps is your theory in this. And to any normal person, we would instantly feel like, how do I disprove the God of the gaps theory proposed by these non-believers? Well, I shouldn't feel that way. I have to fight against that and trust in my own beliefs and my own faith and what I know to be true and the assistance of God. Because I've told you things, if speaking to an atheist, I've told him things that are completely in line with logic, that are completely in line with science, and that show that God truly exists. And he is the creator of this world, the creator of the entire universe, creator of every bit of life that we see. He's the one that truly did all this. And it is an answer, and it is a solution to all of these problems. I have an answer. Yet you attack me for my very answer. Yet in the end of the day, if you take away God, what are you left with? Just the gaps, because you don't have an answer to fill that in. The superior position, having truth on our side. And even amongst believers themselves, they too will feel the need to strike out against us Anytime that the truth is held, there's always those who want to strike against it because it goes against what their own little world tells them. And now more than ever, probably, people do not agree with us who are truthful and adhere to all the beliefs of the Catholic Church like we do here. They will call us heretics, or they'll call us schismatics, especially those that are in the Novus Ordo Church. They'll call us heretical. They'll say, you don't believe in the Pope. Well, once again, here comes that feeling back. Uh-oh, I feel like I'm downhill again. No. First thing, they need to check their definitions of words. You claim I'm a heretic. A heretic is someone who denies a truth of the Catholic Church. Challenge them. Point out one truth of the Church that I don't believe in. Point out one area of the faith which I do not adhere to. You've all studied your catechism. You've all grown up with some of the faith instilled into you. And you know enough about the Catholic Church to know that the reason why you're here is because you care enough about that faith and that you are unrelenting in sticking to every piece of faith and truth that Christ Himself gave us. You know that. You have it there in your heart. You believe it 100%. That's why you're here. So say, what do I deny? And if you want to talk about heretics, then you need not look any further than the man who's claiming that position in Rome himself. He stands up there before you, and he claims that the multiplication of loaves and fishes never happened, that that miracle never occurred. It was simply the words of Christ brought out the charity in those around who were hiding food, and now they're going to bring it forth and share with the others around them. He's just denied the scriptures, the word of God itself, denied a miracle listed out by Christ and given to his church. It's a heresy. He stands there and says that even the atheists, as long as they do some good things, will be redeemed. Despite the fact that they will deny the faith until their very last breath, they will be saved by the God that they did not believe in. That's a heresy. He stands there and promotes collegiality, that he's not really the supreme head of the church, that instead he's just one of a number of bishops, and that he's just part of that larger brotherhood of people holding the episcopacy. That too is condemned. And it goes on with all these easy examples to prove of him not being a Catholic at all. So you want to call one of us a heretic? Who's it going to be? Certainly not I. And then you have those, especially those who adhere to most of the traditions of the church, but would label themselves as, say, maybe recognize and resist type of mentality. And they want to call you a schismatic because you're not following the Pope. Well, once again, check your definition. A schismatic is one who recognizes someone in a lawful position but does not follow and obey him in the matters that he has to. He split away from that lawful authority. Well, I, seeing that Francis is a heretic, I can't accept him to be the Pope. I don't deny the papacy. I don't deny the power that it has as a position. In fact, just the opposite. We're here because we love the papacy so much. We love that office of the Vicar of Christ, which he himself set up and appointed Saint Peter to be in that position, the head of the entire Catholic Church, the representative of God on earth, which through the council, the Vatican Council, stated infallibly that he was infallible in areas of faith and morals. I love the papacy so much that I can't allow someone who spits on the faith to claim to be the head of that same faith. It's impossible. St. Robert Bellarmine tells us that even if privately he were to adhere to heresy and manifest it and not give in to rebuke his own heresy, he would instantly, without any declaration, fall from his office, no matter what position he's holding, even if it be the papacy itself. He would cease to be. It's like, I could not be the head of the NRA if I didn't believe in private ownership of guns. It's that simple of a thought. Yet they want to call us schismatics because of that. But in reality, those who adhere to that recognize and resist position, what is that if not schism by definition? You say that he is the Pope of Rome, he is the vicar of Christ on earth, infallible in faith and morals, and yet you refuse to obey. You refuse to fall in line with the Novus Ordo Church. You would refuse to go along with all the things that he preaches and talks about. And you refuse to submit to that lawful authority, the vicar of Christ, supposedly. That's schismatic, that mentality. Not saying that everybody there is in ill will or, you know, doing it through because they're bad people. But that position truly is wrong. So when we go into the world and meet people, whether at work or at school or, just at the store or family members, whoever it may be, and we hear them say things attacking us for our beliefs, don't let it disturb your peace. Don't let it disturb your soul and your heart. You know, you believe. You are the true believers, the true followers of Christ. You love your faith. And with that knowledge that you have truth completely on your side, you should never fear in getting in any conversation with anybody. You should never feel like you're going to be trapped into a corner without any kind of way out or any explanation that will suffice. Because if they say things to you, then you have the truth on your side. You have the answers with you. And you have full confidence, knowing that God would not leave us to flounder on our own, that if perhaps that you might not know the answer right then and there, you can simply say, I will get back to you and I will find you the answer because I know that it exists. I know I have full confidence in the truth of my faith that I'm not afraid to talk about these things and I'm not going to allow you to change my mind, but I will get back to you with an answer. And if they're there and they have simply no will to change at all but are simply there to cast stones and to call names, and try to disturb your own peace in your faith, then you should feel no obligation to try to spend day upon day beating them over the head. You have the truth, you've presented it to them, you've given it to them in all charity and love for their souls, and now it's up to them to take it or to leave it. And then you walk and pray. Pray for that person at that point, and you've done your duty. And you can go and you can rest your head at night knowing that you continue to work for souls, you continue to work for God, and you continue to work for truth without any shame, without any worries or any disturbance. And that you're doing that act of a little apostle that we're all called to be. You're doing your part to increase the greater glory of God in heaven and to increase his reign here on earth. Trust in all of that. Trust in your prayers first and foremost. And trust in your own faith, which was given to you by God, the source of all truth, truth itself. And may God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.